Okay, would you like me to start now? That's a yes. Okay, good morning, everybody. I'm Sheila and I am recovering from depression. It's actually for me in my service area of my life, chairing a meeting is my most difficult challenge and always has been. However, I do it, occasionally. And I've only done it once here in DA. This is my second time. And it's a privilege to be with you. Well, every meeting it is for me, but today it is certainly true. So typically we talk about, what it was like, what happened, and what we're like now when we do a share. And like some of you, I'm also a member of other 12-step programs. And I'm just bringing that up for a particular reason. I started my first 12-step program when I was 22, so it was 1970. And in 75, I entered a second program. I was just 26, almost 27. And at that point, my uncle, who was in the program I was going into, he was going into my other one. It was so fun because we were able to support ourselves in transitioning from a program to running two programs, in parallel, which is a transition that took place for me in DA. But I'd done it once, so I had a few muscle tools, from that first experience. So what I'm actually saying to you is I'm 74 and I've been in meetings since I was 22 years old, bottom line, and consistently. So I'm a meeting goer. I figure meeting goers make it. At least that's been true for me. I've been in DA. I'm coming up on 2 years. When I asked for help in the depression that had hit me, my sponsor showed up from my other fellowship to my home that day when the onset happened. And she and I sat and talked, and she's gifted enough in her own sense of self. She's sort of right-sized. She'd not ever had happen to her what I was having happen to me. But she stood by my side. She was able to tell me, hey, you got out of the bed and went to the couch today. Yay, right? And so in that sense, she helped me transition. So when I started seeking help, an event happened, and it was just, I was going to Italy, and I wasn't going to see the Pope or, go through the Roman whatevers. I was going because I sponsor a girl in Sardinia and have since she was a young woman. And I was going to be with her and her family. And I had to cancel the trip because although it was just the first time Italy lifted the COVID regulations on flying, and I was going to be there like the first week of that, and stuff started happening. And I realized after a while that it was a no, and I canceled the trip. And that at that point, the onset of my depression started. And what was going on was stuff like, I'm of no use to anybody, list of ways of thinking erupted in me. And I have to tell you that although I have had depression, certainly when I hit my first, what I call bottom at 22, suicidal depression at that point, at this point, it was a different animal. And I knew it. For me to go to bed for a month and not be able to eat, shower, dress, something else was going on other than my prior experience in my own recovery. So I started seeking help because I know that's what you got to do when you're in trouble. And the first thing I hit was in the 12-step arena, I went to EA. Good fit for me, great people. But until I got to you, it was not quite the right fit. It's like you got to get the shoe on you that fits your foot right. And you are it for me in this recovery I'm in with you. I also went to my primary. I got a therapist. You know, I did all the other things that you could possibly do, that I knew to do at that point, to lay a foundation for me to get out of the bed. I'm like doing it. And I have to say that with the exception of one event, depressive event last summer, I have been crawling out of that hole with your guys' help ever since. That's what's been happening. It's been gradual, and that's better for me than anything else because I'm the type that, you know, I go from 0 to 100. I'm a type A, you know, I just want to go for it. And who certainly wouldn't want to be rid of the despair of the depression that I experienced? Who wouldn't want that? And to just share in a general way about what happened last summer, which was different, I am taking antidepressants, and I'm a human being who doesn't like to take medicine. I mean that literally anything, except for like over-the-counter aspirin, you know, that kind of stuff. And I've gone to the lengths of, because of my addiction past, that's, you know, the base part of that. And what happened was my primary and my therapist had encouraged me to work with and I'm up in the mountains, so it's tough. There's hardly any therapists here or anything. But I got a psych referral that we do it on the phone. Well, you know, like a Zoom, like, you know, medical thing, you know, where you get online with them. And she decided at a certain point that she wanted to shift me from one type to another type, which was fine with me. And I went with it. It worked. She got me stabilized, and the people in my life who send me drugs, because I have to do it through the mail. Last summer in July, I didn't get my prescription. So it all left my body, what was in there at that point. And I now know because of that event and the depression level that I went to, that I personally am required physiologically to be on antidepressants. And if not for that experience, I would not have known that. And I'm talking to the depression level where I don't think I can do this another moment in your mind. And I literally, because I've done it before with other parts of my recovery, I did it a moment at a time. And I thought, until they get back in my body, obviously this is where I'm going to be at. And I just lived it. And I had to tell a couple of people that I'm close to that I don't know if I'm going to make it through this. It's that tough. What's happening? And I don't mean that I'd off my, I don't mean that. I just mean, I didn't know if I could do it another moment. And I just had to keep doing it. The closest experience I've had to that experience last summer was an event a long time ago where I ached to, something happened. Well, my ex-husband battered my kid really bad, bottom line, really bad. And I ached to get effed up on what I used to get effed up on for about a week. I ached to get out of the pain. So that's the correlation I made when this event happened last summer, that I'd had the experience that if you put one foot in front of the other and trust in God, that you're going to make it through it. And indeed, that did happen. When other people talk about this arena of their choice making, I have no comment. I'm not a doctor. And no one comments to me in my circle. I go to the medical people. And the reason being that I've gone to, when I talked to you about not wanting to take anything but over the counter, I've had operations twice where I've gone in and they've wired this thing in me of liquid anesthesia. So when I came off the surgery, the usual after effect of those two surgeries obviously was the patient would need some pain meds. And the liquid anesthesia took me over that part for a few days. It was being pumped into my system via the thing they put in me. And then after that, I could go to ibuprofen. So I've really gone to great lengths not to put anything in me. Just that's why I'm sharing that. So my choice, you know, in this arena is my personal choice, and it's working for me. And I think I need to use them right now in my recovery, without a doubt. I don't know for the rest of my life. It's not how I roll. So I'm like, just for today, I take the pill. Okay. So this is my experience. You know, I've told you a little bit about what happened. I told you when it happened. So you're not hearing a speaker who's been living in chronic depression since they were very young. You're looking at somebody who's had, you know, I went back to school. I became an engineer. I've had a great life. Totally great life, guys. Raised two kids, you know, but I had all the other stuff, you know, that goes along with life. You know, I buried two brothers to addiction, just in a general way. I'm just sharing a little bit. So anyway, I get to DA and I listened. And the first thing that happened for me very, very quickly was that I had hope. Bottom line, just that. And I have to tell you that amongst my first year of being in 12-step groups, somebody walked up to me and said, there is hope for you. And they also told me there was hope for my children, which, to be honest with you, at that time mattered more to me than self. And in the context of being in recovery with you, when I say hope, I mean that I saw people who were starting to repair their thinking, their behaviors. They had a willingness, you know, to do what it would take to get back on their feet. And so I knew that I could have that, you know, if I call it work the program. I don't know what you guys call it, but be committed. When I get to the point where I'm powerless in any area, in this area, I'll be specific. The learning curve I've been on in the books and with you guys and in my step study has brought a really different light for me on a lot of different areas of my life, thinking, acting, you know, et cetera. And it's some of it, I'm sort of the type with my recovery when I'm around people in general with their opinions, you know, in meetings, I take what I need and I leave the rest. That's what works for me. The principles are the same. The steps may be the same in any program, you know, that I'm involved in. But in this program, I am, when I depress, when I have my episode of depression at any given point, which I may go months without one, and then boom, it starts again. And I in my step study, say we've got five people sitting in there. I forget our number, our real number, but in that, I go mute. I cannot talk when I depress. And you can hear right now, I talk, right? I can't talk to you. And there's been times, the one last summer in particular, I'm not talking to my kids. Yeah. And for me, that doesn't happen. And stuff like that. And I also go into, I have no appetite. And I'm a compulsive overeater. So this is real new behavior for me the last 2 years, you know, where I just don't want to go in there and eat that bowl of cereal in the morning because I have no appetite. I'm not anorexic. I'm not doing that route, but I'm doing an absence of physiologically. I just don't want to put food in me. Of course, I don't want to shower, you know, the whole ball of wax, but I watch that and I go, okay, there's different aspects of my behavior that I've seen exhibited because I've been trained with you. You watch your actions, you watch your thinking, right? People were talking before the meeting and I wasn't going to bring it up, but I will now. You know, sometimes you get depressed and you start like not showering, you know, that whole thing. You don't get dressed. I've had times where I go in the closet. I'm like, I can't pick what to wear even, you know, I'm like not retarded, but you know, I'm just foggy in the brain. And when I'm in depression, I don't wear jewelry. I do not wear makeup, right? I don't dress to self-esteem ways that I know to. And as soon as I emerge, and I'm not listening to the music, you know, the usual, you know, you have to, when I emerge, I'm putting on the makeup. You know, I'm putting on the jewelry. I'm wearing the perfume. I'm walking out of the house. feeling like a decent, presentable human being instead of a stinky, not shower, you know what I'm talking, that you can get to sometimes. So that's what I call a tell for me. It used to be I lived on a canyon, and if I could see the trees, I knew I was okay. And if they were gone, even though they're still there, right, I knew that I was in a low-level depression. It was a tell for me back then. Now it's different stuff. And I think that what's been fascinating for me recently is this. I had a depressive episode over Thanksgiving, which was not very long. You know, it wasn't a month. Like a year ago, I had a month in January. OMG, that was a long month. And after, when Thanksgiving happened, I decided, my husband and I are both in recovery, you know, and I was not going to do Thanksgiving dinner. And I didn't let my daughter chat me out of that. Oh, Ma, you know what I mean? The usual. And it was fine. It was okay. It was okay to be within my limitations. And that's unusual for me, you know, to make sure that I'm attending to myself and my husband's needs rather than, you know, the other ones in the family, like, you know, my grandson or whatever. So that was pretty cool. And I have to tell you that I had a lovely Christmas. I really did. I'm personally someone who usually really enjoys the holidays, and that includes caroling and not just family, you know, going to stuff, you know, going to fairs. And I'm up in the mountains, and it's a little town I live in, and they do like a Santa Claus comes in one night and all the kids and families are around, and you know, he's coming to town, and then they light the tree. I mean, it's just charming, you know. And a couple of years ago, I was down there watching it, and there's I'm in an old town. I'm in the Gold Country, and I'm in the bookstore. It's old bookstore. It's beautiful. I'm a reader, and Mrs. Claus comes walking in the door. And she sits down fully costumed and reads 'Twas the Night Before Christmas to some little children that were sitting in front of her, you know, and then there's a cookies, you know, over here. And I sat there and I thought, it really can't get much better than this, right? I mean, this is amazing. So this Christmas, we ended up going to see Avatar Christmas Day. Out of the box. And I cooked my first prime rib, which I've never done. I'm trying new things. You know how that is. I'm going to try new things. So that happened. And I think that where most profoundly I've been affected, you know, with the help of you guys is, you know, I am a preacher of habitually praying and meditating. It's my thing, you know, it's part of my recovery. And see, I don't believe that God gave me this experience I believe in a God of care. I believe that in the third step, when it says, turn your will and your life over to the care of God, that's exactly what I do. So I don't believe he's up there saying, well, you blah, 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 and therefore, boom, right? Not. The ways of thinking that I began experiencing prior to the episode of the onset of my depression were my tell. I'm 74, and when COVID hit, I'd only been here like a year, so I didn't know a lot of people. And we did a remodel, which I got to supervise. It was really fun. I got to design my own stuff here. So that finished, and then COVID hit. And when that door slammed on me where I couldn't go out the door anymore that day, when I realized what was happening, and actually I found out from my sponsee from Italy, because she said, you need to stay in. And I'm like, what? And she goes, it's happening here. It's going to get to the States, you know, that whole bowl of wax. So I listened to her. She said, I want you alive. And I'm like, okay. I want me alive too. But anyway, what happened with that was it put me in a house with my husband and cat for long periods of time without other people around. And he became depressed. So we had the two of us, not good company, you know, for each other. And I started working, you know, with the committee here. And because of my background with computers and LANing and stuff, we put together the first Zoom meeting here and got it going up fast. And so I immediately could get back into meetings. And I have it sort of dialed in. In one of my fellowships, there's a 24/7 meeting. So I can get up in the middle of the night if I want to and sit in a meeting. If I want to, or if I need to. And the other thing is I'm in a group, which is a speaker meeting only. And it's every day. And routinely, you got 400 or 500 people in that room. So I'm out of the, you know, small town in a heartbeat if I want to be. But on the other hand, Zoom is not enough for me. I need live people. So I am back in live meetings part-time and in Zoom part-time. You have to do what works for you. I tried to start a DA meeting here in my fellowship, rent a room. Didn't work out. We're working on something else.
Spiritual time.
Thank you. So 15 minutes, right?
No, I've been putting in the chat. It's been 20 minutes now.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's it for me. I just wanted to thank you for allowing me to share with you today. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Sheila.